I would like to continue with the series on dunamis. And in so doing, I want to define dunamis in a very, very simple way while you turn to Acts chapter 1. And dunamis is something that we all have. It's something that we all want to manifest. And I guess before we do that, we better do our positive affirmations. I think I forgot about that. Let's do those, Chris. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Perfectamente. Perfecto. Thank you for doing that. I would like to define dunamis as power to receive into manifestation. It's very simple. And we all know that dunamis is inherent power, meaning it's on the inside. It's like a charged battery ready to work, but it's there. And it's nothing that you have to ask for. It's already there. And so, sorry, it's power to receive into manifestation. To receive what into manifestation? Well, very obviously, it would be the nine manifestations. And there's more, but it's those things that are our target. And so we all have dunamis after we're born again, and we all have the ability to manifest this dunamis. So that's why I chose just to keep the definition super simple. Power to receive into manifestation. So power is the noun. It sounds like a verb, but it's power to receive outwardly. That's what it is. It's power in you. It's power to receive outwardly. That's what dunamis is. And we find perhaps one of the greatest announcements in the transition between the Christ administration and the grace administration. And it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. And these are two of my favorite words, maybe yours too. But ye shall lambano, dunamis. Don't you love it when a plan comes together? Well, it was God's plan that those two words were together, but now we understand them. I guess that's God's plan too. But ye shall lambano. And that word shall in verse 8 is absolute. And it's something that can't be denied. It can't be turned off. It can't be taken away. It can't be changed. It is etched in stone. But ye shall lambano power. after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And when we see the Holy and Ghost like that, we know there's something wrong. So just don't be afraid to think there's something wrong when you read that. Because we're English readers, and this very well could be true in other languages, we don't get to see the Greek unless we're reading out of the Greek text. And I think the count is 52, but there's 52 usages of the Greek words pneuma hagion without an article. And the article is the word the. The most emphatic way for God to have recorded pneuma hagion is to put an article before each of those words. The pneuma, the hagion. Well, that's what we have to find out when we study these words. First of all, is it the Holy, the Spirit in English? Is it the Holy Spirit in English? Or is it Holy Spirit? No the. No the before either of those words. One or two, just none. And that would be the gift. And so, verse 8 says, but ye shall absolutely throw out power. And I define dunamis as power to receive into manifestation. And that's this. But ye shall throw out of you. It will come out of you. Dunamis. This dunamis will come out of you. After that pneuma hagion is come upon you. And that pneuma hagion is the gift. So you cannot have power, not God's power, if you don't have the gift. And ye shall be witnesses. And I find this remarkable because we know that when you become born again, you receive something. You receive a gift. But when you become born again, you are supposed to follow suit and give something. You see, the walk with God is not a one-way street. The walk with God is two ways. He gives you a gift, and then you give. He gives, you give. He gave so that you could give. And this is intricately tied into abundant sharing. And we'll get to that in this series, but I'm not really going to skip ahead today, except I want to mention the one verse in 2 Corinthians 9, I think it's verse 7. He which soweth sparingly, and I'll read it like it should be read, because there's a figure of speech involved. There's tremendous emphasis put on this. He that soweth sparingly, sparingly, back to back, shall reap also. He that soweth bountifully, bountifully, back to back, you put those words together, shall reap also. So, if God gave a gift to you, when you were born again, you're supposed to give that out. And if you don't give it out, you're one of the sparingly people. Shame on you. You're one of the sparingly people. That's not really the right way to use English. But you're sparing in what you do. You're sparing in what you do. If you don't give or reciprocate that gift. But ye shall lambano dunamis after panimahagion, there's no article, is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. And this is what I started earlier. I said, I find this really intriguing. It's amazing to me that the word witnesses is used with the word lambano. Because if you really get down to the quick of the matter, where their life really is, you will find out that being a witness is what it's all about. A witness. A witness. And so, what is it that we're to throw out? Power. And why? So that we could be witnesses unto me. And these are the words of Jesus Christ, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, there you have it. Their uttermost part was a little smaller than our uttermost part, but we still got in. Acts chapter 3. I'd like to further define dunamis as, and the one specific word, because I said dunamis was power to receive into manifestation, power. It's power. 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 And then we find out something about this power, that it's the power of God. It's not just that you got bigger muscles than the next guy. That has nothing to do with it. It's not that you can pray longer or shout louder or sing better or anything like that. It has nothing to do with the five senses. This power to receive into manifestation is literally the power of God. Acts chapter 3 verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. The moment you think that the power you're manifesting has to do with you is the moment of failure. And it's where you break the link. It's where you stop the flow. Because this is the power of God. It's not by, as Peter said, our own power or our own holiness. Those two factors have nothing to do with God moving and working in the spiritual ways of the nine manifestations. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers. And remember, he's speaking to the Israelites because the Gentiles weren't allowed in yet. They weren't allowed into the body of Christ yet. That came a bit later. So he's talking to just the Israelites. And that's why he's using these terms. Because now he's defined the God he's talking about. Hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Wow. Isn't that something? It's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, he said, who had glorified his son Jesus. And that is the God behind the power. He was talking about power because he said, as though by our own power. But he was also talking about holiness. Obviously, these people had a different take on power and holiness. And Peter was squelching that by speaking with boldness the word of God. And so as we walk with this power, and this is new to every one of us, don't think for a minute that because you've been around for 20 or 30 years that you got it rock solid. You don't. None of us do. We're learning. We're learning about something that we just never really considered. And that would be to walk like Jesus Christ said we should walk. To manifest power like Jesus said we should manifest. To trace the footsteps of these apostles like we're supposed to do. And to manifest the power of God. We all know that Paul received more revelation than we'd ever possibly receive. He walked with God more than anyone I know. And he spoke in tongues more than anyone I know. And if you really want to dive into the pool of power and come out smelling like a rose, then you've got to speak in tongues much. If you don't have any desire to manifest God's power, then you don't need to speak in tongues at all. But I say shame on you, because you have chosen to remain ignorant. And that's a sad folly. It's a very sad folly. And why is it so sad? Because you're denying God in your life because of what somebody else said or did or something else you believe to be right when it's not at all. We're not talking about me or you, folks. We're talking about the power of God. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. We're talking about the Father who fathered Jesus Christ. We're talking about the great Creator and the one who had the plan for a family. We're talking about the one who creates pneumahagion each and every time someone confesses Jesus and believes that God raised him from the dead. That's who we're talking about. And it's the same God that gave you power so that you could be witnesses. Witnesses. That's what we're supposed to do. You're not supposed to really listen to what people say. You're supposed to read what the Bible says and feed off of that. Oh, you'll hear what people say in a conversation, but that's not supposed to define your core system of beliefs. The Bible is supposed to define your core system of beliefs. So stop listening so much to what people say. Rather, and the word rather in the Bible means more and more, but more and more feed upon the bread of life. That's the only thing worth listening to. If I'm not teaching the bread of life, don't even listen to me. If your best friend isn't teaching the bread of life, don't listen to him or her. If your spouse isn't speaking the bread of life, the words of life, don't listen to her or him. We are talking about God Almighty giving the greatest gift that he's ever given. We are talking about God having created a revolution revolving around dunamis. Because every time he distributed that power, there were 12 apostles. He had to create pneumahagion in each one of them. And when he did, he basically created a revolution. Now those apostles had the choice to throw it out and be witnesses, because that's what they had in their mind. That's what Jesus told them to do. Or they could just be sparing about everything and hide behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They could have stayed that way, but they didn't. They became witnesses. Now that word is akin to witnessing to people, yes, but that's not exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about throwing out the power. That's different than going up and proselytizing. But it could be similar or even the same, because speaking the word of God is a battery. It is a mode of dunamis. So Peter spoke to those people and said it straight, and I'm using those two verses, Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, to help define dunamis. It's not our own power. It is literally the power of God. And so when Jesus told them that they shall lambano dunamis, he was telling them that God was going to be in them in the form of great power, and then they were to use it. That's what he did. Well, that's dunamis defined. There are characteristics of dunamis that will teach us more about the power of God in us. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This characteristic is that death cannot hold or bind dunamis. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, dunamis. Remember I taught in the class that when you see the word miracles, it's almost always the word dunamis. I don't even know why they use miracles. Wow. Wow. That just hid the whole act. And wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? And you will find that whenever dunamis is recorded as being manifested in the Bible, it is always God doing it through you. He's behind you. He's involved somewhere. He's behind the scenes. But it's not you. If that dunamis ever gets energized, it's because God energizes it. Now, if you really want to manifest dunamis, you must believe. So the Christian walk is a little tough sometimes because you got to put it to it. You got to work hard at it. You got to be good stewards of it. You can't just treat it like a religion, which is so filthy and nasty. I don't even like using that word. You've got to treat it like God. How would you treat God if he stood in front of you? Well, that power is as much God as God is God. Well, how would you treat the dunamis? You've got to be willing to work it. And you must believe. If you do not believe to receive, you won't receive. Because believing is the key to receiving. You know how you had to believe to speak in tongues, and now it's easy, you just do it. Well, every one of those manifestations work the same way. If you don't believe, then it's not going to happen. No shame on you, though. No guilt. No worries. That's okay, but now we're learning the truth of this subject. And we're understanding that if you're going to receive anything spiritual, you must believe. Why? Because it's not of the five senses realm. You have to bring it in from the spiritual realm. And there's a bit of a transition there that has to take place, and your believing is what activates that transition. And I love that part of the verse 22, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Who's not going to know it when it happens? That's the beauty of this. Listen to this again. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by dunamis and wonders and signs. I've already taught that in the last series we did. They weren't fake omens at all. They were the real McCoy. Which God did by him. Now, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was God. Well, why is God doing it then if Jesus is doing it? That doesn't even make any sense. Jesus is not God. Jesus is the Son of God. Even with Jesus Christ, God had to do these things, which God did by him. God did, God did, God did, God did, it says. God did by him. Everywhere he went, in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God delivered him. The resurrection, which is what that's alluding to is a witness. It is a dunamis battery. And we'll be getting to those things. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Look at the murderers they were. He was addressing murderers. Murderers. He was addressing murderers. Can you imagine? When was the last time you addressed a murderer? That's really something. What would it be like? Not only were they murderers, but they murdered God's Son. The untouchable. The anointed one. The promised one. The one that would have set their lives and plans and eternity straight for once and for all and forever, and they killed him. But Peter was still teaching them. Verse 24, and here's the witness whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. When and where you have murder, you have the God of death. Because the God of death just so happens to think that death squelches all things godly. Well, it doesn't. We are super Christian conquerors, even in death. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The devil believes that death is his great calling card. That's his card up a sleeve. That's his cheating under the table. That's his key to eternal life. Oh, he believes that. But I'm here to tell you that dunamis trumps it. Dunamis overcomes it. And that there's not a dead soul, I guess we could say. You know what I'm talking about. Where dunamis will not affect. Or who dunamis will not affect. Because either you're born again and you have to die, or you're not born again, you die, and you have to be raised at the judgments. In either case, dunamis is going to come to bear, and you will face those things. The Christian eternity, and the unbelievers, the judgments. Death cannot trump dunamis. Acts chapter 4. I've alluded to this, and just with clarity of verse, we'll see in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, that dunamis is a witness of the resurrection. And with great power, dunamis gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And I find it remarkable also that, as we'll see as time goes on, a grace and dunamis are like bedmates. They're always together. We shouldn't have been graced with such great power, but we were, and we are, and we're supposed to do something about it. Dunamis is not something that's just here and now. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Dunamis is going to be around for the rest of our lives, and that includes eternity. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, dunamis, and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nothing can avoid dunamis. All things visible and invisible fall under its reaches. There is nothing, therefore, that you can't affect when you lambano dunamis. All things are fair game. The reaches of dunamis are beyond our imagination, and the closest to describing this that we can get is verse 20, for the invisible things of him that have forever been in existence are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So the things that are made have behind them the invisible things that God created. We don't know the scope of that. We just know that the things that are made understand that they were made from a greater power than them, and that in the spiritual realm, those things are invisible. And then it says, his eternal power and Godhead had all to do with all of those things, so that they are without excuse. No one can escape the judgment of God. No one can escape the power of God. No one can escape the reasonings and the logic of God. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they act, let's make a wooden idol and call it God, and then they think that that's it. But that isn't it. It has nothing to do with anything godly. And we know that those people in this part of the Bible had a big problem with that. They worshipped and served the creation more than the Creator. There's nothing so good about the creation that you have to ignore the Creator, because the Creator, the invisible one, is behind it all. So why not drop the pretense and just worship God? John 4:24 tells us, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that would be truthfully spiritual, which is speaking in tongues. I want you to try something tonight when you're praying, when you go to bed and you're praying. I don't want you to pray with your understanding. I want you to pray with the spirit. So when you're praying for, let's say, Jaylene, You can either picture her, or you can say, okay, God, I'm going to pray for Jaylene right now, and then you just speak in tongues. And as long as you're speaking in tongues, that is the intercession for Jaylene. And then you switch to somebody else. But I want you to start speaking in tongues for people instead of praying with your understanding. You can say things if you want with your understanding. I'm not saying don't ever do it, but I'm saying I want you to start speaking in tongues a whole lot more. And anytime it's on your heart that somebody needs to be prayed for, you just say, well, Father, I'm going to pray for this person right now. You put them on my heart, and so please receive my speaking in tongues. You don't have to say that. I'm just saying it might be a way to identify and make you feel better about it. So God's dunamis is eternal, as we just read. And then in Romans 15, we can learn that the power of the gift, pneumahagion, causes us to abound in hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Look how integral those, let's call them entities, are. They're all joined together. And we've got hope and joy and peace and believing. So the next time you go to the gas station, ask God to fill you up. That ye may abound in hope. Why do you want to be filled up with joy and peace in believing? So that you can abound in hope through the dunamis of pneumahagion. There's no article there. It's Holy Spirit. Through the dunamis of pneumahagion. And that's what God does for you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you really want to sing with the angels, and even better than that, then you've got to believe. Your believing trek through life did not come to an end when you spoke in tongues, when you were born again. That just started it. And you should be fine-tuning that, honing that every day of your lives. Believing, it says. If you want to be filled with all joy and peace, then you've got to believe. Especially, though, if you want to abound in hope. This is something that God gives you. It's not something you make up. You sit there and, oh, I want to be more hopeful. Oh, I want to be more hopeful. That's not how it works at all. That's all man-made stuff. That's all five senses religion. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Only take the hope that God gives. Refuse all others, because they're not real. What's real is the hope that God gives. And if he ever gives you hope, which he does, and he will, it's going to abound. But it's going to abound through one mechanism, and that would be power. That you can manifest. That's what dunamis is. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we learn that dunamis is not only excellent, mirroring the qualities of God, of course, but it is also absolutely of God. It's not of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. Well, what treasure? I don't feel like I have any treasure. Then, friend, you're not believing. You're one of those dead Christians. Your battery's dead. Now, in reality, that battery will never die. And one day you might have to, if your body wears out before the return of Jesus Christ. But there's no such thing as a Christian that doesn't have something inside. In an effort to try to communicate that, I use those words. You're one of those sparing Christians. You're one of those Christians that really don't put anything to the test. You talk a lot. You have your own religion. But you don't have a way with the Father. If you had a way with the Father, all of these sparkling adjectives and descriptions and characteristics that we keep finding in the Word, they're like little treasure troves. They would be alive in you, on you, around you, everywhere. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the dunamis may be of God and not of us. He put his power inside dirt. Carbon. The earth. Adam was formed out of clay. He put his power inside clay just to make a point. Whenever this thing comes raging forth, it has nothing to do with your abilities. Nothing. It's all about me. That was God's point. Oh, and how beautiful that is. So let us try to walk away from haughtiness and ego and self-esteem and wrath and all the other illegitimate aspects of the human walk. And let us embrace agape and the greatness of the still behavior, the peaceful behavior, the sure-footed behavior, the true way of love and life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's the sure-footed way. That's the witness that we also take into the world. Thank you.